You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. And that brings the time to 11 minutes past 4, and it's time for my bi-weekly highlight. As I say hello, Jeff.
Hello, Unicorn. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah.
It is. No, it is. It is. I kind of miss you, and I don't see you, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you expecting me to say I missed you as well?
No, I wasn't. No, dude, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
But it's okay. It's fine. We're here together now. And just a grin and bear it for the next 30 minutes. Okay.
I'll do that.
Try to do that.
Yeah, I'll do the best that I can to.
I know.
Although this afternoon, I mean, we normally start joking about. And it's this afternoon's conversation is quite a serious one because it involves divorce and it involves. Things that happen because a divorce is not like a cut off. It's a process.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a process, and you're going to go through all of that this afternoon as you speak about the strain on a relationship, on relationships, not just the relationship.
Correct.
Relationships.
That's the key.
Plural.
That's the key.
Before, during, and after a divorce.
Yeah. So it's some kind of collateral damage that gets done while the couple is going through.
Yeah.
It's not only them that gets hurt. So we're going to talk about that and focus a bit on the circle around the couple that gets hurt and gets involved in this stuff. So, yeah, I want to do that today.
Okay. If you've got any questions, folks, 072-447-8044.
Yeah, I'm happy to take questions today.
I'm
happy to maybe just give a bit of experience and a bit of advice on if you are going through it or you're either going into it, you're in, or you're coming out of it, just give us a shout and we can answer some questions if there's something that's bugging you at the moment. Because, you know, the latest marriage and divorce report by Stats SA, now let's not do America and all that, but Stats SA says that 4 out of 10 marriages end in divorce in the first 10 years, so the 10th anniversary. So that's quite hectic. And generally around the world, 50% of marriages fail. So, and that's not talking about relationships you go in. I'm talking about marriage now. You go, you get the piece of paper, and 50% of those fall over. So it's not a joke, and it's not something that happens infrequently. It happens a lot.
But that is, as much as it is a pretty accurate stat, it's also a misleading stat in my mind because there are a lot of people who are not married but have been together
for there it is.
20 years.
Correct.
That's as a divorce in practical terms as well if they split up.
So, it is a divorce, sure.
And that's not getting into the statistics.
Absolutely, and that's 100% right. And so when this thing happens or when it's – and one thing about divorce, it doesn't happen over a weekend. It happens over a period of time. Something triggers it and then, you know, and you sit with it for about a month or two or three or a year or five and you – oh, I don't know. And then, you know, things happen. So you can't say that it's happened. So, but also with that, you can – if you see it happening, you can try and fix it. And I'm always one to try and fix stuff before. So I'm going to talk about that, but I'm also going to talk about the strain it does on other people around you, and then I'm going to try and give some positive light on divorce, because there is a positive thing about it as well, and it's not often spoken about. We all talk about the pain and the stuff that we go through, but I'm going to try and put it in perspective today and give it a kind of a balance if I can. Okay, so we try and do that. Okay, so before divorce, what happens? Okay, there's who gets affected? There's marital tension, right? So it's the couple who's getting affected, obviously. A lot of people don't know about it, perhaps, or, you know, they don't know, but there are ongoing arguments, maybe, or there's unresolved issues that are happening, and there's emotional distance. You don't want to be with that person. You don't want to be in the company. They're irritating you or whatever it is, or you're really angry with them and they don't really know it, or you found out that there's been infidelity and the person, you haven't spoken about it yet. These are all things that are happening before the divorce, and it's the decline of intimacy as well, and mutual understanding is there, and it's often evident, but not evident to everybody else around you at this stage, okay? Family dynamics, the family relationships, especially the kids, okay, can be strained as kids may sense conflict.
Mm.
Now, we're not in it yet. We're going towards the divorce thing. And they can sense something's wrong, but they don't say anything about it, and they carry on with their normal lives at school and whatever it is. And we can talk about kids that are young, very young, sort of like 2-3 years old. Talk about kids that are 12-13 years old that are kind of there, but we think they're stupid, but they're not.
Mm.
They know exactly what's going on, but they don't say anything because mom and dad, you know, causing. And then you get kids that are already out the house and married with their own kids, and there's another dynamic there as well. But they may feel the conflict, but not discuss it or have an open discussion about it. We will come up with communication again, which is something that we need to talk about as well. So extended family relationships can also become strained. Now you'll see that the in-laws, the cousins, the people you normally go braai with on the weekends, the Christmases, the birthdays, everybody gets together. There's certain communities that get together, like a Portuguese community or the Italian. They get together all the time, and this can cause strain because now the one's sitting in the one corner, the other one, and they start, you know, skinnering about each other, and there's something going wrong, and somebody finds out that somebody has spoken about this, and they're not in a good place, you know, and everybody sort of starts talking behind their backs, perhaps.
There's a lot of speculation that goes on at that point.
People don't know, and they judge, and then they stay away and all that kind of stuff. So extended families also become strained as people take sides for these things, you know. Yeah, but he's away a lot, or she's, you know, she's always out or with her friends, or she's always spending money. No wonder the guy's in a everybody's talking about stuff, and it gets hectic.
That's generally behind the couple's back, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It would be. Friends and confidence become important sources of emotional support. So a guy will go and talk to another guy about, listen, I'm really struggling here with this. And the woman will go to her friends and say, listen, I want to come around for a cup of tea. I just need to talk to somebody, you know, and they start talking about how they're feeling and all. They haven't gone to a counselor yet. They haven't gone to a lawyer yet. It's kind of getting there, but it's not there, and they want to try and protect it, but it's getting worse every week, and things are not going in the right direction and that kind of stuff. So can you imagine? I mean, even talking about it is a bit strainy. Hey, it is. Yeah. And social isolation can happen as well as the partners become preoccupied with their problems. So he will spend more time at work, or on the way home from work, he'll go into a pub and have a quiet beer on his own, not meeting anybody, but just I've got to go home now, and I've just got to get myself together. I've had a rough day. I can't relax at home because she's there, and let me go to a pub and have a beer in the corner. I'll sit in the corner and just go through my phone and just try and chill before I get home, and maybe I'll get home late and she'll be already in bed and I don't have to see her. All this kind of stuff happens, and it's not lekker. And then during the divorce as well, co-parenting adjustments. I mean, this is a very strained time because now the kids, no matter what age they are, they don't know what the hell's going on, and they don't really know how to handle this stuff. Mom and dad are, you know, now mom's moved out or dad's moved out to a flat somewhere. How do I handle this now? Now, what the hell's going on? And also, if they're 2 years old, it doesn't matter because they don't understand. At 13, they know exactly, and they're very upset. Because remember, kids will always want their parents together. No matter what's happening, no matter how you're fighting, your kids want you together. And that's their thing. And it upsets them. And they get upset, and they maybe handle it differently. They'll be maybe a bit rowdy at school, or they'll
won't
do
out,
their homework. They'll act out. Yeah, acting out. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not lekker. And then, you know, you've got to also sort of, okay, you come to me for a weekend and I come to you for a weekend. Or some of the saddest things I've seen is you know, on a Sunday lunchtime, every second weekend, you take your kids out for lunch together because that's your time with them, you know. You don't want to disrupt their routine, but Sunday lunchtime every 2 weeks, you get them. It's
well, I want to tell you from personal experience. Nicolette and myself, we were married for I think 13 years, I think, and when we separated amicably, okay, we had one of the, you know, people look at our separation and then ultimate divorce and think, how did you do that? Because we're still the best of mates. But the thing I never got used to was dropping my son off every second week.
It's the most nastiest thing.
You drive back in the car and you've got this hollow feeling in your gut.
Feel sick.
It is not cool.
No, it's
not. And you never get used to it.
Never.
Never.
I agree with you. I've had that. And I think the worst time of my life was dropping my son off after the first weekend that this thing was through. And I looked in the rearview mirror and he was crying, but not visibly. Just the tears were rolling down. I've never forgotten that. 20-30 years. It's crazy. I haven't forgotten that. You know, so
it
affects
cool.
you. Yeah, it's it affects cool. you. Yeah, it certainly does. And you have to adjust to that stuff. And it's not easy. You've got to learn to communicate about the children effectively. Now you're in this divorce. Now you
really angry. Don't want to talk to each other.
You don't want to see each other. The guys had an affair. Now you're really upset with him, or she's gone off with somebody, or whatever it is, and now you've got to talk about the kids in a mature, calm way. It's just not easy in anybody's book. And unresolved personal feelings, and it's crucial to talk about it, but there's unresolved stuff. You're going through a fight, dude. Who's got the furniture? Who's how much money? What court case? This lawyer sent you stuff. It gets very, very messy. Extended family, we can talk about during this time as well. The in-laws, they take sides, possibly. Some of them will try and be supportive, but some of them will take sides, take their daughter's side or their son's side, and create distance between the two of you even more so. As well. And, the dad, the dad of the divorcing lady might be very angry and, might show that anger towards you, and be aggressive or whatever it is and that kind of stuff. And your friendships, your social circles suffer as well, because friends feel pressured to take sides, and they don't want to. Nobody wants to. The kids don't want to. And they're in the worst situation. And additionally, new social circles can be formed around people also going through a divorce. So you'll go and meet other people that are going through the same nonsense that you're going through. And that can be a good thing, or it can be, it can just
a toxic thing.
Just push that button a little bit more in that pain circle there as well. Legal and financial advisors. So each of you as a couple, you've got a financial advisor or a lawyer that you both know or whatever. And now all of a sudden, you've got to find, especially with a financial advisor, I've been down this road, your couple split, and then who do they speak to? Do you lose one of them invariably, because it's not cool to work with both while they're going through this stuff, because they don't really trust anybody at the moment, let alone themselves with all this stuff. They don't trust anyone. So these are the things that have to happen, and each one must get his own psychologist, own therapist. And I do believe in getting therapy while you're going through this. Go to a life coach, go to somebody that, a little bit of a pastor or whatever it is, whatever, you must speak to somebody, and you must be giving you perspective as well, because you're going through stuff that, and everybody handles things differently. I suppose everybody's emotional. Some people are calm and quiet, but you might be crying a lot, or your whole life is now collapsing. Maybe you've been married for 35 years. Maybe you've been married for 2 years. But, your whole thing has changed. You've been a housewife. You haven't had a career, whatever. Now what happens? Now all kinds of things start happening as well. And during this divorce period, a lot of stuff, financial stuff comes up. Especially for the person who is not the breadwinner, perhaps. And now where does she get money from? She's not earning money or not enough. And now where does she go stay? And he's not interested. And all of a sudden, in divorces, Rich, guys get poor very quickly. You might be a very wealthy person, but all of a sudden, when you're getting divorced, all of a sudden you've got no money. And you're struggling, with money, because you don't want to give your money away, and nobody wants to give their assets away. And so it gets kind of ugly. It's very seldom you get a good guy that says, look, half is yours. I'll get you a place. I'll make sure you're safe. I'll make sure the kids are safe. Don't worry. The school's fine. There's food in the fridge. I'll give you a car. You're okay. We'll talk nicely together. Very seldom that can happen. It does happen, of course, but very seldom that it does happen. So you need to kind of go through the stuff, and it is incredibly difficult because it's very, very emotional. And if these divorces take on years and years and years, and money, the lawyers make money. We've told about, we've said about this before, but it starts working on you. It starts working on your emotions and the ability to hang in and keep as it were, fighting for your right for half of whatever you split up with. And I really feel for couples that are going through this kind of stuff now. It's not pleasant. So after divorce, so now we've spoken about going into, now in, and now after the divorce, what happens? Once again, co-parenting again. And remember, the kids don't really want you to have another partner. So it also makes it difficult initially. You know, men are different. Men, we've spoken about it before. Men will have a girlfriend on the weekend. You know, that's because, you know, what happens if I haven't got it anymore? You know, I'm dating and I'm cool and whatever. The women take it easy. They take about 18 months to 2 years to get, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to go near anybody. I want to be with my girlfriends. I don't want a relationship. I'm not ready for it. Guys will go out and you know, have three or four girlfriends in the space of a 3 or 4 weeks or days or whatever it is. But the women don't, and it gets hairy and upsetting as well. And kids want their parents together. I don't care if they're 12 or 13. When they're older and 35 or 40, kind of matured enough to kind of say, okay, well, Dad, you know, we like her, but don't bring her around. Or bring her around, it's fine, but just, you know, how's Dad doing? No, Mom, we don't talk about stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but kids at 13 and 12 can cause chaos. They don't like the new partner or whatever it is, and they can be difficult and play up as well, especially with new romances and that kind of stuff. But having a new romance is kind of a time to redefine what you're looking for, and avoiding past mistakes. Now, remember, we're after divorce now. Friendships are important, you know, post-divorce. You can build deeper friendships and find a support network. And you'll find that people can also let go of friendships that are connected to the past. That can also be a healing thing. So, you know, you had a joint friends.
But it can also be a sad thing.
It can be. Yeah. It's always sad, you know, Richard. It's always a balance here because we're dealing with people and human behavior and emotions. So it goes either way. And everyone's different. Every situation is different, you know. But it's a time to be, you know, look at yourself and develop personal growth and get a new career for yourself, perhaps, or get a new car, or find a new hobby, or get involved with a new crowd of people, maybe a hiking group that you never did, or a career that you were never able to do. So some of the don'ts that you shouldn't do after divorce is, don't date for the wrong reason. That's another thing, because you can get yourself into trouble. And not only that, more importantly, you can hurt other people. Somebody might be ready for a relationship. You come in, you're straight after the divorce and you hurt somebody. Don't do that. It's not a cool thing to do. And you jump into a new thing and everybody thinks you're cool, and then you're jumping out of it. And it's not a great thing to do. And you don't want the kids to see that kind of stuff as well. I've always said to couples that I've counseled, I've always said, you know, don't bring people home. You can date and go out and that kind of stuff. But if you've got kids at home, don't let it be a railway station there as you bring people in. It's not cool. Kids don't like it, and it causes chaos. The other thing, don't punish everyone for your ex's mistakes. It's a natural thing. If you have been cheated on in two of your last marriages or two of your last relationships, you bring stuff into this, and you're watching somebody's phone, or you're watching how they move, or it triggers. There are triggers that get you as well. So maybe you were shouted at in a previous relationship, and somebody shouts at you for some reason, and it triggers you and it makes you upset. So just be careful. These are things that you need to work out. Don't make rash decisions out of excitement. You know, you might all of a sudden feel, oh, she's absolutely amazing. And then you make silly decisions. You move them in straight away into your home and that kind of stuff. It causes a lot of pain. Also, don't be oblivious to the fact that it's a whole new ball game now. So you might have been married 20, 30 years ago when you were dating. It's changed.
Mm.
That particular restaurant you used to go to, or that club that you used to go to, used to be fine, fantastic. Now it's full of rough guys,
mm.
and they spike your drink, and they do all mm. kinds of stuff. So just when you go out and you date, just feel safe, but just make sure that it's safe for you to date other people as well. Let's look at the pain points. Pain points, I called it pain points. Younger and older kids, they do not understand what the hell is going on. Even your older kids that are 30 or 28, 30, 32, getting their first families, they don't understand. They've never been through this stuff.
Mm.
So they don't really get it. You know, you don't know what it's like to be a dad until you've been a dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they don't know. And maybe they don't know. And maybe, you know, dad's got the, you know, connection with them, or he's got the money, or, you know, he takes them out or overseas or whatever it is. And then mom's sort of like a bit poorer perhaps and can't do that stuff. And vice versa, so, you know, and they don't quite know. They take sides, and then dad might get upset, or mom might get upset, or can you see what chaos is? Married kids, you've got your in-laws, you've got your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law. We've done a program on son-in-laws and that. They don't want to get involved in somebody else's, especially, look, it's a stranger. It's my husband's parents. They getting divorced. I'm not interested in getting involved in any toxic stuff. I'm staying away. And what happens in a relationship is that the daughter-in-law kind of runs the roost a little bit and says, listen, we can't have your mom here or your dad here at the same time. And they start staying away from family functions and that kind of stuff. So it can cause chaos. In-laws as well, of course, and then extended families, cousins and those kind of people get involved and as well. Okay, so let's wrap that up. I mean, everybody goes through their own thing. I'm sorry if you're going through it now, but there is a positive side to divorce. So now, I know that sounds a bit weird, but there is a positive side to it, okay? Let's look at the positives. First of all, it's not a failure. Never see divorce as a failure, because it's not. It's a chance to develop yourself. It's a chance to see why it didn't work. But if you believe in what other people say to you and they say, oh, you failed in your marriage. No, well, the marriage didn't work out. It's cool. We changed, whatever. Don't listen to what society says. Listen to what you are. There are many married people who are quietly miserable, and that's not success either, you know. So emotions are valid. You're allowed to feel angry. You're allowed to feel sad. You're allowed to feel confused without somebody judging you. You're allowed that. And there may even be times that you don't see the point in living. You may say, oh, well, I can't anymore. I'm done with this whole thing. It's been going on. It's cost me money. And nothing's going to happen. It's okay to feel that way. It's fine. Okay? It's normal. You're a human being, and you're going through intense grief. This is loss and intense grief. It's not just somebody getting divorced. So every emotion is valid and will eventually pass. That's the positive. Self-care is important. You know, go look after yourself. It's important that you can look good and feel good for your kids, because they look up to you now. They're watching you at every step. Support is crucial. Lean on friends and family or a life coach who can help you. And every divorce is unique. You can't compare your healing to somebody else's healing, to your relationship that you had, Rich, with your ex-wife, your good mates, and somebody else's. They don't want to see them again. They want them buried. You know, they'd rather see the stone there at the graveyard. Don't underestimate patience. You know, it's healing and rebuilding takes time, and it's not something that can be rushed into. It's not linear either. You can go back and forth between feeling strong and feeling absolutely devastated. Again, in a space of a few weeks or a few days, it's quite normal. Communication is vital. Even if you're talking to a coach or a therapist or something, please get out your stuff to somebody that cares about you. And, talk about your kids. Talk about your ex-spouse. Focus on the future. There's a wonderful future ahead of you. You've got every right to have a wonderful, healthy, happy, love-filled life, you know, and it's on the other side of pain, you know, it is there. So look for it, and what's your vision? You know, try and find out what you want out of life. You've gone through this stuff now, it's painful. what do you want out of life? Go and plan your life now and get it done. You know, your kids obviously need reassurance to see that you're okay. They're worried about you. Financial planning is absolutely essential. You can't just say, oh, well, I mean, I'll spend everything now. Just be careful on your finances, especially while you're getting divorced. It can be extremely expensive. Divorces can be 10,000 rand, or they can be 1 million rand as well. Meditation and mindfulness will help you, stop the scenarios of anxiety and depression. Your happiness, by the way, is your responsibility. Nobody can put you on a downer if you don't want to go there. And these emotional things put you down. But it's your happiness is not somebody else's responsibility. You need to find your happiness. Forgiveness is liberating. So you need to forgive. It's liberating. And life can be amazing again. You need to understand that. Because when you're going through stuff and you're in a hole, you don't see the light. But there is a light there, and it can be amazing. You might meet the best person that you've ever met, your best mate, your soulmate. It's just around the corner. So just be aware that good things can happen to you again. It doesn't feel like it when you're going through the stuff, but it is there. Newfound freedoms are there. Don't take your freedom lightly. You've got things to do and places to see and traveling. You can do all of that stuff. Boundaries are crucial. Set clear boundaries with your new relationships. Don't worry if your ex is shaking you to the core with every interaction. You know, set boundaries. Learn from the experience and find the positives. Very important. And closure comes from within. You can't expect your ex to give you closure. You've got to give yourself closure and become resilient, crazy resilient. Okay? You can. Nobody will give you anything you can't handle. So we can take it out, and we can take it and build your courage. And have a wonderful, wonderful life. It's no use being with somebody you're unhappy with, or in a situation you're very unhappy, or abusive situation as well. It's the entire process, as you said before, Rich, is a deeply personal and varies depending on the factors like the length of the marriage, the reasons for divorce, and the personalities involved as well. So while it's challenging, many people find resilience and growth, often emerging with a clear sense of who they are and where they want to be and who they want to be with and their future relationships. And it can be a good thing if you decide it's going to be a good thing. Make it positive. There's so many negatives in this thing. Let's look at the positive side and balance it. And that's kind of it for today, Richie.
I think throughout all of this, and while you're talking, and there's a comment here that says the sad part is once you've accepted it is happening, the sadness is the loss and how good it all started, and all hopes and dreams are shattered. And that does happen, and that's going to happen sort of during the first two phases.
Yeah.
But in the third phase, there is hope, and you've just mentioned that. But I think what my own experience is that, and not with my own personal experience in observing people who have gone through this, is give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time. You know, you cannot expect, and some people do, the expectation is, okay, we're splitting up, we understand the reasons why, we're getting a divorce, it may even be amicable, and now it's Tuesday, and on Friday we're divorced, Monday we just carry on, and okay, we're no longer together, but that's the only thing that really changes, and expect it all to be, the relationship to be, and the communication to be normal. It's not going to be that.
No.
It's not going to be that.
It doesn't work that way.
If you give it time, the things that you are unable to speak to your ex-wife or ex-husband about when it's all still fresh and raw are things that you're able to speak to them about 6 months down the line, because now the wounds are starting to heal and people's emotions have settled down, and logic comes into play, and you know that armchair that you were so insistent that you wanted, you may not want that much anymore, because
you get perspective.
You get some kind of perspective.
And 10 to 15% of people that go through divorce become kind of friendly afterwards again. So it's about 10-15% of it. Others don't, but you become friendly again and able to talk about stuff again and laugh about certain things. And the unfortunate part is that the longer you go from a split, the more you only remember the good times.
Mm.
You don't remember the bad times. Mm. And I've said when I'm counseling people, oh, maybe I should go back, and it was a really abusive relationship. Either remember why you left.
Mm.
If it's not that bad, then fine. But if you remember why you left, you know.
Yeah, I think the nature of the post-divorce relationship is going to be very dependent on the reasons for the divorce.
Sure.
And not every divorce has to do with infidelity, which I can imagine would be something that would pretty much ruin everything.
Yeah.
It could be financial issues. It could be compatibility issues. It could be
illness.
It could be anything. Yeah. So it's not those relationships still have an opportunity or the prospect of continuing. Not intimately, but still on a civil basis.
Of course.
And that obviously is in the best interest of children, circle of friends, family, extended family, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So look, it's not easy. And most lawyers you'll go to, they are there to make things happen, and they'll try not to get to court to this thing. They'll try and coax you through. The good ones will try and get this thing resolved, you know, as far as they can, so that you can and move on with your life and not be in this thing for longer than you shouldn't be longer than 2 years in a divorce, because it just destroys you.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes you weak. It self confidence goes, and you start doing, you know, stupid things. So it's probably the worst thing that you're ever going to happen to you. You know, it's probably the third, second. I think the one is death of a child would be one, and then it's about second or third on the list.
Mm.
Of the worst things that could ever happen to you. And it's getting more mainstream nowadays. You know, I mean, I was listening to something the other day, and that guy was saying back in the day, if somebody wanted an affair, they had to first find the person, then they had to find the time off, then they would have to go and find a room somewhere up the coast, or you'd have to do something like that. But nowadays, you can lie next to your spouse in a bedroom and have an affair on your cell phone, on social media, with your spouse right next to you, and you could be talking to three or four people, you know, either way. So it's so difficult now, and it's, you know, things that cause divorce now are things. I just want people to look at the positive side. If you're not getting on with somebody and you're really not happy, you know, just start the conversation and try and do it as amicably as you can. It's, I know it sounds like a pie in the sky, but, you know, who makes money here and who loses money?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for anybody who's going through this, who's having a hard time at the moment, who's thinking of leaving or is going through this, you know, my heart's out with you. I'm with you guys. I understand this, and Richard understands it as well. And, you know, do it the best you can. You know, it's a process, and it's management of this process and your own emotions. Yep.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Jeff, and thanks for the question. All right, so that's it.
That's it. Yeah, we're out of here.
Well, we're done.
We're done. Oh, are we finished now?
No, we're over.
Are we divorcing now?
Yeah, I'm done with you.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yes, go.
Okay, bye.
And don't leave anything behind, because I could never see myself in that pullover.
Leave my pullover.
Yeah, right. That's Jeff Kahn, and the best of life, love, and fruit salad. It will be on the podcast, and you can follow Jeff's links there if you want to contact him. Thanks, Jeff. We'll catch you in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.